Of John, and in reverence to the reading of the gospel, I'm going to ask you to stand if you are able. For as long as you can able, I don't know who planned the service, the longest hymn with six verses in it, and then we're going to read the whole chapter of the gospel, chapter 9 in the gospel of John. So if you're feeling a little weary, please feel free to sit down. All right. May the word of God fall afresh on your ears this day. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. When he went and washed and came back, he was able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but is someone like him?" He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees. And nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. When I was 5 years old and in kindergarten, I received my first pair of glasses. I was devastated. I had to go to school as a quirky little girl with these tortoiseshell, big-framed glasses, because mind you, it was 1980. And glasses were not cool like they are cool today. And I got called all kinds of names. Their favorite was Four Eyes. And so I would tuck my glasses into the little cubby, hoping that my teacher did not notice that I was not wearing them. And of course, she would notice. And she would tell me, "Stephanie, why aren't you wearing your glasses? Go get them out of your cubby and put them on." And so I'd shuffle to my cubby and take them out and put them on my little round face and hang my head in shame. I wore glasses all through elementary school, and in sixth grade, I received the gift of contacts. I was so excited that I did not have to wear my glasses in public. I still do not wear my glasses in public. I have worn contacts ever since then, and my glasses are so thick. Talk about glass bottle bottoms. They're awful. And so I just wear them around the house to give my eyes a break. I understand what it means to wake up in the morning and not be able to see. Everything's just kind of fuzzy. I remember in the 1990s, the first Spider-Man movie came out, and the guy got bit by a spider, and the next day he could see in the morning. I was like, "Where is that spider? I want one." I didn't care what the side effects were. We go through a life sometimes with blind spots, with blinders on. We know what these blind spots are. We completely understand them. For instance, when we get a car, we learn where the blind spots are, and we get really agitated when we're driving down the road and someone's traveling in our blind spot. You know, we want to change lanes, and there they are, and they're honking at you because they don't realize that they're traveling in your blind spot. They don't know your car like you know your car. I remember being pregnant with my first child, and it was probably 2 more months to go, and I was huge. And we had a cat in the house. His name was Isaac, and I was always used to looking at the ground as I walked so that I wouldn't trip over the cat. You know, and I was a ground looker wherever I went, whether it was outdoor indoors, I was always looking at the ground to make sure that I stepped over whatever it was that was in the way. Well, as I got bigger, there was a huge blind spot right there, and I could no longer see my feet or anything else. I was constantly tripping over that poor cat. And if I went outdoors, I was always tripping over something because I could not see. If there was a pothole in the ground, I was sure to find it and fall. I drove Mac crazy because he couldn't be there all the time to catch me every time I fell down because I couldn't see. We get accident prone when we can't see the things all around us. Sometimes we have these physical blind spots. Sometimes it's emotional blind spots. And we don't understand why some people get mad at us. And there's this emotional explosion that goes on. Wow, that took me by surprise. I wasn't expecting that. Right? Where did that come from? And then there's these spiritual blind spots. This is probably the biggest blind spot that we have because we are asked to believe in something that we cannot see. The scripture tells us over and over again, no one has seen God. And it's interesting, we'll get in these discussions, and this is where we actually kind of realize these blind spots. Because, you know, some people will say, you know, I just think it's just safer to believe because I'd rather be wrong on this side of life and pass away and realize that I was wrong and find out there's not a God rather than be in the other position of not believe and then die and find out there's a God. That sounds way worse. Well, that's not a reason to believe. Really? That's pretty shallow. At that point, you're just trying to save your own neck. That's not what faith's about. It's a spiritual blind spot. And then you have people who don't believe at all. They just think it's just plain silly. Humanity goes through life blind to the reality of God. This is one of the reasons God came down in human flesh. Because human beings prefer to believe in things that we can touch, taste, smell, actually see. It's called science. Show me some proof. God, in answer to that, wrapped himself up in human flesh, something that could actually be seen and felt, and came down to earth and walked among humanity. This is what scripture has to say about God revealing God's self in Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, it says, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. Another scripture says, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 18, no one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. And then in Colossians, chapter 1, verse 15, it says, he, speaking of Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. There is so much about God that remains a mystery to us because we do not have the spiritual eyes to see. God gave us this great gift in Jesus Christ that humanity actually got to experience God in the flesh. God proclaiming Jesus Christ, here I am. The Gospel of John, if you read it through its fruition, is very concerned about darkness and light, blindness and sight, because it is all about God revealing God's self in a powerful way in Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. And what we just read with the blind man in chapter 9 is kind of like a mini Gospel of John. It's the Gospel of John condensed. It's this journey of people figuring out who Jesus is. If you see it in the story, the first time the man born blind is asked, who is it exactly that healed you? He says, this man. The next time he's asked who Jesus is, he's a prophet. You see his journey of figuring it out. And every time he answered, he's getting a little bit closer to the answer. To the very end of the story, when he meets Jesus one more time, and Jesus says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" This term Son of Man is not just simply son of a human being. It's a term taken from the book of Daniel. It's a sign of the Messiah. The Son of Man will return. He will come, descend from the skies. It's a term from the book of Daniel. He's alluding to that. The blind man knows exactly what Jesus is talking about. Who is he? Tell me. I'll believe in him. Jesus says, "You've seen him." This man that's been born all of his life, his future was to be a beggar. Jesus says, "You've seen him. Out of all the things you got to see today, you got to see the Messiah." Who is he? Jesus says, "I am he." The blind man gets it and falls down and worships. Compare that to the religious leadership. This ought to scare you. It should make you squirm in your seat, because the people who were dedicated to the service of God, to the teaching of God, to the laws of God, don't get it. They are blind. God comes in human flesh, actual material that can be seen by the human eye, and the religious leaders of the day don't get it. They don't get it. We're not blind, are we? Yeah, you are. Yeah. They don't get it. It's extremely important that we get it, because we point to what cannot be seen. Our actions, our words, the Spirit of God manifest in the flesh within us is what the world gets to see in God in action. It's extremely important that the religious leadership gets it. That's not me, folks. I'm just one. That's all of you. That you get it. That you're not walking through this world spiritually blind, not understanding exactly why you believe. That's just my safest bet. That's not the reason to believe. It's not deep enough. Because this world, God offers so much more in this world. We were designed to pursue God. That's what we were designed to pursue. We're designed to pursue. We got that part. We just got lost in what to pursue. We pursue things. We pursue people. We pursue what feels good. And what God tells us is, be still and know that I am God. Stop your pursuit and I will meet you there. Because all reality, we were created in the image of God. God is pursuing. God pursues like a hound on a trail, not giving up. What Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, what God came for. Why is Jesus here? Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Not just physical blindness, but spiritual blindness. God came in human flesh so human beings could actually see who God is and not have to guess. So Jesus is our first step, our first stop in getting to know God that we experience through the Gospels. We experience through the writing of these words that have been preserved from generation to generation of who Jesus is. So let's think about that for a minute. God revealing God's self most powerfully in Jesus. What we see in Jesus in the Gospels is someone who always meets a person where they are. There is not a point in the Gospels that Jesus meets a broken person and says, you know what, you need to fix that, and then we'll talk. So you go home and fix what you're doing there and come back and see me. Jesus never, ever says this. Jesus always meets a person in their brokenness and works it out with that person. Because that is where Christ's compassion is. Christ came to heal and to be among those who needed healing. And those who thought they had it all together, like the religious people of the day, that's when he would kind of lose his cool. Jesus would say, you brood of vipers, who told you to run from the wrath to come? You children of the devil. Oh my gosh, that came out of Jesus' mouth? Really? Yes, it did. And all those sins we would like to categorize as bad, that we would never admit that we've done, Jesus never said it to those people. Jesus said it to the people who looked like they had it all together, who looked like faithful, loyal lovers of God. But those are the people who completely missed God in the flesh. Completely missed it. Again, folks, that should scare you, should wake you up. Because the question is, which category are you? If you were put into the Gospels, which one would you fit into? Are you the person who thinks they have it all together? Who thinks they would recognize God if they saw God? Are you the one desperately seeking, waiting for Christ to meet you where you are, waiting for hope to be delivered? Jesus is one who always met people where they were and always spoke the truth. Jesus is also, when we think of God in the flesh, one that left all glory, left the heavenly realms, left a place of security, holiness, perfection, stability, to come in human flesh and to live among people, to walk in absolute humility. That's who God is. God's willing to leave it all just to be in our midst. Wow. That's who God is. Jesus is one who can work miracles. And even the law that God gave humanity so that the law would reveal who God was, Jesus would bend those rules for the good of humanity because that was the reason they were given. So here the Pharisees and the Sadducees are extremely upset, not because Jesus healed, but because he did it on the Sabbath. Scandalous. So they feel like they have a right to judge the God of the universe, the very creator of humanity and the giver of the law, for healing on the Sabbath. Because the creation is more important than the law. That's who God is. How else is God revealed in Jesus? I think it's very interesting. We were created from dust. From the very beginning of Genesis, God's creating out of this muck. And it tells us that God creates humanity out of the dirt of the ground. And here Jesus has this broken human being who's never been able to see. From the day he was born, he's been blind. Jesus kneels down into the dirt that very stuff that we're created from and spits in it and smears it on this man's eyes. That when God touches mere dirt, amazing things happen, and it's what we're created of. We're created out of dirt and miracles, people. And the God of the universe is still working in that this world in that way. That's who God is. God working with normal things and making something miraculous out of it. What also amazes me in Jesus is Jesus could have ascended into heaven at any time Jesus so chose. Jesus could have completely avoided the cross. Jesus could have walked away. Jesus could have hung out. Jesus could have continued his life teaching in another place in the world. But Jesus did not. What also amazes me is in the midst of the suffering, as humanity is cursing the creator of the universe, the life giver, Jesus never curses humanity. In the midst of the greatest agony a human being can feel as they whip and they beat him and they mock him and they spit on him, Jesus never retaliates. Which is interesting because you can say something wrong to a person and a person can be very quick to retaliate. We're very quick to bring out the Old Testament, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But that's not the God we serve. That's not the God we serve. God's love is greater and deeper than we could ever imagine. And we are so, well, we're not like God. We'll leave God behind and pursue whatever we want. We'll do bad things against other people. We'll sin against ourselves and do unhealthy things to ourselves, all the while following our own will and rejecting God's, rejecting God. And God never says, you know what? I have had enough of you. I'm not going to pursue you anymore. I'm going to pursue everybody else but you. You have had it. I've had it with you. Jesus, you never see that in God, in Jesus. In Jesus' most agonizing moment, you don't ever see Jesus retaliating. God revealing God's self in deep, abiding ways in Jesus' life and on the cross. And then in the resurrection, this is what amazes me. God must be a glutton of punishment to want to live with us for eternity, because that's what the resurrection means. We get eternal life. We get to live forever with God. Do you know how long eternity is? It's forever. Mac and I have been married for 17 years. There's probably been some days that have gone by that one of us thought, wow, this has felt like an eternity. Right. And God wants to spend eternity with each one of us. Think about that person who has hurt you to the deepest of your core. Do you want to spend eternity with that person? Heck no! And as many times as we've turned our back on God, God wants to spend eternity with each one of us. Good grief. Wow. Really? That's who God reveals. God in the flesh in Jesus Christ. That is who we meet in the Gospels. God revealing God's self in the most blatant of ways. And there were folk that didn't get it. And they were supposed to be the defenders of God, the defenders of the law. And they completely missed the boat. Folks, we've got to get it together. Because days go by and we completely miss God revealing God's self in the Spirit. We get so wrapped up in the materialness of this world, we completely miss it. We lose track of our time, our priorities with God, and we completely miss it. And sometimes we're even content in being blind. Wow. So your homework this week is to be still and know. Continue to do along that journey that God would reveal God's self in powerful ways. To enter into a gospel and watch Jesus at work, revealing God to you, going, wow, this is God. This is God in the flesh revealing God's self to me and to you, all of humanity. To pray that God reveals God's self to you in powerful ways. What's amazing is we can journey with God for a very long time, and all of a sudden our blinders are like, wow, there's God. We can feel that when we are alone in prayer, but most of the time we feel it when we're around other people, that our blinders come off, and I'll be praying for something, and all of a sudden someone will have a word for me. They have no idea that they're delivering a word of God to me. They have no idea. But it is an answer to prayer, and I'm like, oh my gosh, there was God. Wow. In the midst of everyday life. So praying that God reveals God's self in powerful ways. We have three individuals going on the Emmaus walk this weekend. Pray for them. Pray for all the women on this walk that God will reveal God's self to them in powerful ways this weekend. The Emmaus walk itself is founded in the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus is in his resurrected self. It is after the cross, and he is journeying with these two individuals. It's quite humorous. He joins these two individuals on their journey into the city, and they are telling Jesus all about the crucifixion as if Jesus didn't know anything about it. Jesus missed the whole thing. Jesus gets to hear his whole story through the perspective of these two individuals. They have no idea that they're spending time with Jesus. They have no idea that they're spending time with God. And they stop off to have a meal together, and it is in the breaking of the bread that their eyes are opened and they can see. And Jesus is revealed to them. God is revealed to them in most powerful ways. These are the moments that we long for. That our eyes are open to the movement of God. That we pursue God just as we were designed to do with all of our hearts, our minds, our souls, our strength, because that is what we were designed to do. And it is in those moments in pursuit, in the stillness, that we are aware and present, that God reveals God's self in powerful ways. There is so much that we don't know about God. What we do know and find in Jesus Christ is absolutely amazing and wonderful and life-giving. And God continues to reveal God's self to us by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. God's gift of God's self to us every single day, day in and day out. Never leaves us. Never abandons us, never forsakes us, ever. And we don't even have to pursue, really. All we really have to do is be still and know. And God will reveal God's self in powerful ways. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.